As the UK prepares to ease its lockdown, the country's central bank says the economy will shrink 14% this year. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Bank of England today warned the coronavirus pandemic is pushing the economy into its worst recession on record. Unemployment is predicted to jump to 9% by June, while consumer spending and business investment are expected to roughly halve in the second quarter. Though the central bank does expect a sharp rebound once lockdown restrictions ease, which could begin as early as Monday, policymakers don't anticipate the economy will bounce back to its pre-virus peak until the middle of next year. Karen Ward, chief market strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management, says that's because there's still a lot of uncertainty about the virus itself.
We simply don't know how successful reopening after the shutdown is going to prove. If we start to see reinfection rates pick back up and therefore those shutdown measures need to be tightened up, then that would significantly slow the pace of recovery. But the only other thing we don't have much information on at this point in time is the economic scars that will be left even when the reopening begins, and that is with regards to how many businesses didn't make it through the period of shutdown, and also the extent of damage to the labour market, how many people have lost their job rather than being furloughed.
And when it comes to forecasting, the central bank also noted disruptions to data collection. A lot of consumer prices are collected by physically going into the store and seeing what prices are on the shelves or relying on people out of work to pick up the phone and answer survey questions. So with a lot less of that happening right now, how big of a problem do you think that is when it comes to the accuracy of forecasts?
I think that's what's so difficult. I mean, it's one thing being able to make a judgment about where you go in the future, but when you're not entirely sure where you are today, obviously, it makes that judgment even more difficult. Now, there are some real-time accurate sources, things like tax collection, credit card usage, that give us a really good sense of where we are today. But absolutely, I think it's just one of the aspects of uncertainty that means it's going to be a good few months before we're really clear about the actual cost of the COVID-19 recession.
Central bankers voted unanimously to keep interest rates at a record low of 0.1% today, but two of the nine Monetary Policy Committee members wanted to add another roughly $120 billion to the bond buying program. Do you think we'll see some of these stimulus programs expand even more to keep borrowing costs low as economies still try and recover from this crisis?
Absolutely. I think we'll see asset purchase programs in the UK, but probably globally expand. And really, if you think about what the central bank's job is right now, it's to make sure that governments can get access to financing because they are the primary source of support in this recession. In the last recession, we had our central banks cutting interest rates, taking down mortgage costs, and that was an injection of cash into people's pockets. And they can't do that this time around. Therefore, it's the government's role to get that cash into people's pockets.
Karen Ward, Chief Market Strategist at J.P. Morgan Asset Management. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
In the hours after that early morning announcement, the British pound is little changed against the U.S. dollar. London's FTSE 100 is up about 0.5%, along with the broader European market. That's after China's exports rose 3.5% last month as parts of its economy restarted. Those figures are boosting sentiment here, despite another round of grim data out of Europe. Germany's industrial production dropped more than 9% in March, while France posted a 16% plunge as demand for manufactured goods dried up. In India, where factories are beginning to restart after lockdown, a gas leak at a chemical plant this morning killed at least 13 people and sent 800 more to the hospital. The BBC's Yogita Lamai reports.
The leak has been traced to a chemical factory owned by LG Polymers and is thought to have occurred at around 3 a.m. local time. As the gas spread, residents ran out of their homes in panic. Doctors have told the BBC that hundreds have been taken to hospital. Many had breathing difficulties, stomach pain, and a burning sensation in their eyes. Officials say the incident occurred when the factory was being reopened for the first time since the lockdown imposed due to the coronavirus outbreak.
The BBC's Yogita Lamai reporting there. Well, to New Zealand now, which outlined a further loosening of its lockdown restrictions. Shops and restaurants will reopen with strict social distancing. Sports events will resume without spectators. And though travel around the country will be allowed, the BBC's Vivian Nunes explains tourism won't be easy to rev up again.
Usually at this time of year, the city of Queenstown in New Zealand's South Island would be gearing up for the busy winter season. Snowy mountain slopes, whitewater rapids and nearby wineries normally attract 3 million visitors a year, 70% of them from overseas. Half of all jobs in the region are related to tourism. But with New Zealand's borders currently closed to almost all foreigners, many Queenstown residents are worried about the future. Maggie Fee works at Gibson Valley Winery.
We have a restaurant and we also have a brand new accommodation offering which opened in December of last year, but we have lost all of that tourism side of the business. We're going to come out of this soon. I know New Zealand is going to come out of this soon, but who knows how long it's going to be for the rest of the world.
The future of New Zealand's tourism industry is also on the minds of the government in Wellington. This week, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern met with Australian politicians over video link to discuss a possible quarantine-free travel zone between the two countries. Peter Dunn is a former member of New Zealand's Parliament who served for more than 30 years.
The reason we've been so successful in curbing the spread of COVID has been because we've got this very strict border control. People are saying, oh, well, you can substitute with domestic tourism, but frankly, there are not the numbers of population to meet that demand. The other country, interestingly enough, in our region that's only about 8 or 9 hours away where we could look to is Taiwan. They've been remarkably successful. And there has been some suggestion that maybe leaving the politics aside, this is the time to include Taiwan in the bubble as well.
But while some countries contemplate reopening their borders to certain travellers, others keep theirs firmly closed. The tiny Pacific nation of Vanuatu, which has no ICU units, has stopped all incoming flights to prevent the virus reaching its shores. That's left some seasonal migrant workers like labourer Jeremiah Naupa trapped overseas.
We should be leaving Australia around middle of April, but because of this pandemic, we can't go back to Vanuatu. We think the government has done the right choice to stop the borders, but I know all the men that are working here, we miss home, we miss our families.
Eventually, Vanuatu and other Pacific nations could be included in the proposed travel bubble. Regional relationships could be reformed along virus-free lines. I'm the BBC's Vivienne Nunes for Marketplace.
Finally, British Airways owner IAG says it's planning for a meaningful return of flights by July. But as the company reported a $2 billion quarterly loss today, it said plans were highly uncertain, subject to various travel restrictions, and added that flight capacity could be reduced to 50%, while demand likely won't get back to pre-crisis levels until 2023. I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.